every afternoon. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone, broadcasting live in Gallatin at Sutton Service. We would love to see 1845A, technically, Nashville Pike. We will be here until 6 o'clock. Blaine and Mickey are still here. I think they're going to hang around for the next 3 hours, signing autographs and kissing babies. Is that true?
No. He didn't hear you. No, he's that's too busy not true. Signing autographs and kissing babies.
Mickey's already a jet trail back to Nashville. We're going to have a good time. I'll get you some information as to what's going on here in just a little bit. I do know this. There is a 3HL $3 meal deal that you can take advantage of when you come by and see us. You get a hot dog, golden flake chips, small fountain drink for $3. And you can get that done while we're on the air. There was some Adoree Jackson news today, Don Davenport.
Yes, I felt this coming. I felt it in my soul.
You did kind of feel it in your soul yesterday. Yep. You were kind of mentioning this.
Yes, yes. I said he'll be back. Now, I don't know what that means because nowadays, you know, they have kind of the 3 week lead up into for safety reasons where you come off the IR.
Yeah.
You can practice, kind of find out where you are. So basically you have 3 weeks until you have to make the call.
It's purgatory.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But yes. It's a beautiful purgatory, though, right? Because you're not in hell.
No.
But you're not in heaven yet to be out there to play. But you're
waiting.
You're closer to heaven than you are hell.
Well, that's good. Yes. Go. So the story is the Titans designated cornerback Adoree Jackson for return from IR. This opens up a 3 week window of purgatory, which Don was talking about, for Adoree to practice with the team without counting against the 53. Until he is activated. So head coach saying today, you know, he wants to be able to see what he looks like, how he responds when he practices, to get a better feel of how close he is to returning. So will he play this weekend? I'm not saying he won't. I'm not saying he will. We don't know. But at least there was movement in a positive direction.
Because let's be honest, that defense needs him back. But they need him back healthy.
I mean, they've given up 30.
They need him back healthy.
They've given up 30 plus in 3 of their 5 games.
I think that's important to point out.
That's not a typical Titans team. No. But, you know, the typical Titans team isn't like near the bottom of the league in total defense and number 2 overall in total offense. It's kind of a weird year. If you're just checking in to 2020, it's kind of a weird year that we've got going on. We will be at Sutton Service, and here's the other thing they're doing. Sutton Service and Pepsi are raising money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital this fall. You can stop into any Sutton Service. We would love for you to come to this one in Gallatin on Nashville Pike. But you can pick up your favorite Pepsi or Mountain Dew 20-ounce products, 2 for $3, and Pepsi will then donate a portion of the sale to St. Jude's. Last year, Pepsi donated over $20,000 just from Pepsi and Mountain Dew sales. And with your help this year, they hope to double it. So come by and see us. And if you heard part of that or whatever, just ask us and we'll tell you what to do. And there are signs up in the store also to help you out. So coming up on the show today, let me go ahead and do this. Typically we don't, but I do want to let you know what's coming up, especially this hour. Coach Mack will join us at 3:15, and we'll break down the last 2 games. Probably spend more time, obviously, on the Texans game because we already talked about the Bills game with him, but then move on to Pittsburgh as well and look. You know, we'll get him to identify matchups and things the Titans can do from a matchup perspective.
And really dig
and how
in
it is going to go.
Defensively, right, him, and let him kind of, what does he tell us? The tape never lies. Analyze the tape for us defensively and what's really happening there.
Yeah, all players will tell you, I and this guy never lie. so that's true. 3:45, Titans tight end Anthony Firkser will join us, coming off the big performance against the Texans, 8 receptions.
3:15 or 3:45?
3:45. Okay. We got it flipped around in our text strand.
I like it.
So 3:45, 8 receptions, 113 yards against the Texans, both career highs. Also had a touchdown in the 42-36 overtime win against Houston. Big block on the last run, the game winner for Derrick Henry to get into the end zone as well. Chris Lowe at 4:15 talks college football. Tons to get into with him. There's a big story brewing down in Baton Rouge that they have been investigating themselves for the last couple of years, and they've come up with things, and they've penalized themselves. We'll get to that a little bit later. Sean Henry at 4:45 and Todd Furman at 5:15. All that coming up today. So busy day, and we've got Titans Steelers coming up this weekend. Heavy dose of SEC football, even though it's scaled back a little bit as teams are taking bye weeks now. There are four games coming up this weekend. Titans running back Derrick Henry named the offensive player of the week in the AFC. No surprise there. The question, though, is can he get going against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense? And, Don, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer to that either.
Right?
And it's hard, too, if you go back and look at Steeler opponents, and obviously they haven't given up, I don't think, a 100-yard rusher, right?
Not since 2018 finale.
Okay.
They gave up a 100-yard rusher in the finale last year when it didn't matter.
Right.
But beyond that,
so I mean, they're giving up 66 yards rushing a game right now. It's going to be interesting to see if Derrick Henry can get going. Also, the thing the Steelers, I feel like, have done is they take a lead early, and teams maybe abandon the run or stop trying to run the football. They need to catch up and score points, and the Titans need to not panic and be able, if they do fall behind, be able to still count on Derrick Henry and establish the run.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's teams will try to establish the run and they'll be run base and all of that.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work, and then they try to fling it around, and then that doesn't work because they're not used to doing that.
And then all of a sudden you're down big.
Right, and that's
playing catch up.
That's where the explosiveness of this offense comes into effect, right? Because they can do both. So, Pittsburgh can't just dial in on the run game on first down because the Titans are likely to throw it on first down as they are to run it. They self-scout all that stuff. But, game plans change week to week, and they set up their offense to be able to do so many different things and attack you in so many different ways. That is an advantage, certainly. But from Pittsburgh's perspective, their offense isn't shabby either. And Tennessee's defense, as you keep pointing out, not good.
Don't say it like that.
It's true. It's true.
I just said yesterday that they were a disaster.
That's a lot worse than what I just said.
Not good.
They're not good.
No, I. You know what? The right thing is that they're not good. The right phrase is that they're not good right now.
I mean, how's a 5-0 team give up 30 or more in three of their five games? And they're still undefeated.
It's unreal.
So,
counting on your offense there.
The thought is if the defense gets going, which, there are things that can happen to enable them to get going defensively. And one of those is Dory Jackson getting back out there.
The wheels are turning on it.
I think that's very true. And then another part of that is Jadeveon Clowney continuing to grow in his impactful form. Vic Beasley, I don't hold much hope out for.
You've kind of written him off.
I hope I'm wrong. If Vic Beasley goes out there and has eight tackles and 2.5 sacks and tips a ball that's intercepted by Christian Fulton for a touchdown, I hope all those things happen. I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. Like, he is unnoticeable watching the game. And you know me. I watched the game multiple times. He's unnoticeable.
No, I agree with you. I mean, there were several times on that Tuesday night Bills game that I rewound to see if he was even on the field because somebody watching with us said, is he out there? Is Beasley out there? Has he played? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, no, you don't notice. That's an issue. Well, and are we at the point where, and I think listening to Vrabel's presser, I think Paul Kowarski tried to ask this to him, but didn't really get a response. But are we at the point where you're past the, okay, it's conditioning, it's not in game shape yet. Like, when during the season are you past the point that it's because he's not in shape enough to be able to contribute a number of plays on game day? When are we there? And I don't know if we're there yet because of what Titans have done. You are there. You are done. I get it. I totally get that. You're done.
Yeah. I'm there with JG too. We can talk about that later.
You done with JG?
I was doing some thinking about it. And it's not ideal to trot out a freshman against Alabama for his first start, but that's what I would do.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Are you crazy? Listen,
you're not winning that game anyway.
Okay, so well, there's no pressure from that point, but what are you trying to just ruin the kid mentally for the rest? I mean, because this is my thing. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. You know what? I'll take it personally, okay? Like, I'll give you an example. I'm just going to say it. I was a badass volleyball player in high school.
Yep.
The best, right? Yep. I was really good. I got to college, and it's a different level, and my confidence was shaken. And my freshman year, I didn't play because I questioned what I was doing and myself. So it took me like a season.
If you would have had me as a coach, I would have thrown your butt out there, and you would have adapted and figured it out.
Right, but because I was mental, I wasn't the player that I could have been. I wasn't good. I wasn't good because I was a mental head case, right? And I like to think I'm like one of the most mentally strong people ever. Don't we all think that? But no, it ain't the case. So the last thing I want to do, if I'm a coach, is throw out freshman quarterback Harrison Bailey to play and get his first ever start against Alabama.
Do it.
And then all of a sudden, him questioning his ability and if he's ready to play at this level.
Well, guess what? He's got a week after the Alabama game to kind of put all the pieces back together and then go to Arkansas.
Putting the pieces back together is kind of scary.
Listen, if you're going to go 4-6 and 5-5, would you rather do it with Harrison Bailey or Justin or JG?
Oh, no doubt Harrison Bailey, because you got to use this time that doesn't count against anybody. Yep. To get better. I totally get it, but really, is starting against Alabama really the best idea?
Yes, that's my best idea, which is why I'm sitting here at Sudden Service talking about sports.
I was going to say, we're just going to agree to disagree on this one.
And raising money for St. Jude. That's what we're doing. So come by.
Hey, we can all agree on that
Pepsi products, $2 for $3, and you can get that done. By the way, real quick, before we get into Coach Mack, remember how Pittsburgh has been a 2.5-point favorite all week?
Yeah.
I just pulled it up. Tennessee now, tons of money coming in on the Titans. Tennessee now favored by 1 to 1.5.
Wow.
Big flip on the line there. Yes. And
we'll talk to Todd Furman about it.
We will at 5:15 and get the why to that. Needless to say, Coach Mack is up next, so we'll do that next. 3HL, broadcasting live from Sudden Service. On Nashville Pike in Gallatin. Come by and see us. We would love to see you. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. This is 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.
This is your home for Titans football.
Do you want some of that? Yes, you do. Derrick Henry, 74 yards to Pater.
104.5 The Zone. For Titans Radio's Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans on 104.5 The Zone.
Retail powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Sudden Service in Gallatin, 1845 Nashville Pike. As my good friend Buddy Sadler pointed out, one of Nashville's greatest radio personalities. It's the corner of Douglas Bend and Nashville Pike. He said that would be easier to say for people to know where we are. So
super easy to get to.
Appreciate that.
Come say hi.
Buddy Sadler, the caddy in life that everyone needs. Sudden Service at Pepsi, raising money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital this fall. You can stop in, pick up your favorite Pepsi or Mountain Dew product, 20-ounce product, $2 for $3. Pepsi will then donate a portion of the sale to St. Jude's. Last year, Pepsi donated more than $20,000 just from Pepsi and Mountain Dew sales. With your help this year, they hope to double it. Coach Mack is with us now to talk a little ball. Coach Mack, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Everything's good. John, what game you got this weekend?
I've got Kentucky at Mizzou. There's not a ton of SEC games this weekend, Coach Mack.
No, I know. Doug Matthews and I did Coach to Coach today. I'm well up on it. I just wondered which one of those you had. That should be a good game.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Kentucky wants to pull that momentum that they just got at Tennessee. I just talked to their quarterback today, and that momentum is the key word for them.
Yeah, Mizzou's feeling good about that whole LSU deal, and then they got a COVID week off, and so that's a good game you got.
Yeah, should be good.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Kentucky coach on tape, really good in the lines of scrimmage. That's kind of where it starts, right?
Yeah, they're a physical football team, too. The other thing that I know this is a Titan show, but this is a ball show, too. And Mark Stoops, his defensive staff the last three seasons, in my personal opinion, have done the best job of putting people in places to be successful, and then they coach them really, really well on their techniques, and they're just a real sound defense, and that's fun to watch when you're watching a really well-coached defense.
No doubt.
Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. Coach, I was listening to Titans Radio. We were out and about doing some 10U baseball on Saturday and Sunday, and so I got the enjoyment of listening to your enjoyment on some of those big plays. How much fun was that broadcast for that football game?
Brent, how much fun did it sound like I was having?
It didn't sound like you could be having much more fun than that.
Well, and there it is. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, the fun that I had doing that game was about 11-2. I mean, it was so good because the thing that I liked, and you know, first of all, it was a good, you know, National Football League game. First of all, if you're a fan watching or listening or just, you know, a fan, just I'm talking about not a fan of either team, just watching the game. I mean, it had so many ups and downs in it, and, you know, had big plays on both sides, and there was so much going on. But then, you know, for a Titans fan, you know, which I am, and then for a Titans announcer, which I am, being able to watch, the reason I start laughing about Derrick Henry's long runs is because people actually think they can catch him. And they can't. And the thing that's amazing is he's not, I mean, we've had fast guys. I coached all the time that CJ2K was here. CJ2K was an instant starter. I mean, he was a guy that, boom, it was all of a sudden, and then he's at top speed. Derrick Henry, it takes him a little time to get his stems unwound. And once he starts winding up, he hit that 40-yard line on that 94-yard run, and the DBs and Zach Cunningham thought that he had him. And all of a sudden, I mean, it really looked like that Derrick Henry was running on jet fuel and the other people running on diesel. I mean, it was hilarious. And I love watching that stuff because he knows, too. He knows once he gets unwound, they're not going to catch him.
And Zach Cunningham isn't, I mean, you're not talking about a scrub here.
Yeah, I went back.
No. And especially, he outruns defensive backs in the National Football League.
Yep.
And when you're getting, when you're trying to get defensive backs in the National Football League, especially when you're bringing them into the league, you don't ever look for, there, not one box is checked on a DB that you're trying to draft that says slow. That's not a plus.
Well, there were four Houston Texan defenders right with him on the same yard line, and he pulled away, and they were out of the shot, everybody but a DB, and the DB wasn't catching.
That's about the point where I started laughing on the thing. Yeah. Mike Key's trying to be a professional and do his job, and I'm laughing.
All right, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. I hate to completely, you know, be Debbie Donner Downer here, but probably not laughing at the amount of points that this Titans defense is giving up. Coach, you always tell me tape doesn't lie. When you pop in the tape, what stands out from an issue standpoint for this defense? Is it lack of pass rush that puts your secondary in a tough position? What is it that you point to and say, this is where the breakdown is for this Titans defense?
It's lack of being able to get the opponent out on third down. They're getting too many shots at him. And if people get that many shots at you during the course of a ball game where they can piece off and start to section calls together based on what you've done, you've got problems. And that they've been doing a good job defensively of first and second down. They've gotten people to a lot of third downs. They're allowing too many third down conversions. and some third and double digits. And when you do that, that's a problem. And then what you start doing is defensively, they're able to find the matchups that they want to work on, and sooner or later, they're going to hit you. That's what's been happening with this team. They are allowing teams to get too many series consecutively on them, Don. That's the biggest issue.
So what can you do?
Well, stop them on third down. Then it's over.
You know, it's something different every third down, right? I mean, sometimes it's bad tackle angle.
They've been in man. They've been in zone. They've not had enough pressure. They've had enough pressure and have dropped coverage. They've been in man to man, and they've made really good catches on them. My point being is this: if you get them out on third down, they never get a chance to have those plays, and that starts to add up on you. And that's been something that's been consistent for these 5 weeks is third down defense. You hear Mike Vrabel talk about it all the time. And as a longtime defensive coach in this league, I understand the problems that letting third downs accumulate on you have. They get too many shots at you. And then no matter what you're in, sooner or later, the offense is going to make a play with extra down. That's the problem.
Titans radio analyst Dave McGinnis with us every Wednesday at 3:15. Coach, are you seeing anything that leads you to believe that they're getting better in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback?
Well, not with four. Not right now with four. I mean, you know, they're still right now with four. Where they're getting good pressure is up inside. They're getting really good pressure up inside. And I'll say this for Clowney. He's getting pressure. He's getting pressure. It's just not quite at the point. But he's making people move off the spot. He's doing that. But they're not getting them on the ground from the edge. They're getting good inside pressure, and especially this last game. I thought that Daquan Jones and Jeffrey Simmons did a really nice job, you know, against Watson, because this guy's a nightmare in the cylinder, and they did a great job of not only pushing it, you know, they got him, they flushed him to each other. They got him down once, but also, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons made two huge plays batting the ball down. The inside pressure with four is good. The outside pressure is not there yet. Getting them on the ground.
Well, Britton and I were talking about this. You saw 11 snaps out of Vic Beasley. Brent's done with him. He's moving on.
Keep my powder dry.
Are we at a point where?
Well, no. With all due respect, Brent, whether you're done with him or not doesn't matter. But go ahead, Don.
Well, that's true.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Okay, so is the coaching staff done with him yet? Where are we on Vic Beasley?
No,
what do you see in those 11
plays? It's up to him what he wants to do. I mean, you look, a player controls how much he plays by what he produces. You know, right now, if he's not being productive, well, then he's not, you know, he's not going to get many more snaps. No, they're not done with him yet. You know, they will keep putting him out there. But, you know, first of all, you need numbers out there to rush. You know, you've got Roberson that's coming back to give you a few more numbers out there. But no, they're not done with him. But no, he hasn't produced, you know, like they want him to, and probably like, you know, he wants to too. But no, they're not done with him.
Adoree Jackson designated for return from IR. It's a three-week window where he can practice with the team, for those that don't know, and without counting against the 53 until he's activated. What kind of difference would Adoree Jackson out there on the field starting at cornerback make for this defense?
Big, Brent. Big. I mean, it make a big difference for this reason. That's your speed match corner, okay? That is your speed match corner, and that's so important. We've played some really – you know, we played some fast receivers, you know, in this first five-game stretch. And if you're missing your speed match corner, I mean, I've done it. You know, I did it with a Hall of Famer in Aeneas Williams. I just know what it brings you defensively, you know, if you're able to match somebody with their speed with somebody that's got speed. And, you know, whenever he's able to come back and play, and you're correct, you're telling your listeners absolutely correct, now the three-week clock has started on him so that they can start to see him in practice and see where he is, and then after 3 weeks, they've got to make a decision on him. And at any time during that three-week clock, you can say he's ready, and then he counts against the 53, and you have to make a commensurate move, you know, on your active roster. But you ask me what a difference it would make? It would make a big difference because, first of all, you need the speed back there to be able to match. And second of all, this time of year, especially this time of year on, guys, you need as many legs as you can get in the secondary, because this is about the time of the year where it starts to wear.
All right, let's hop over to the other side of the ball just a little bit. Okay. And Brandon actually writes in a couple of questions for Coach Mack. First, he said, Coach Mack, what can Ryan Tannehill do better to confuse the replacement green dot on the Steelers defense? That's his first question. We'll hit you with the second one after you answer this. But obviously, Devin Bush is done for the Steelers on IR, done for the year. So that's what he is talking about when he says the replacement green dot on that Steelers defense. Coach?
Yeah, and that's a legitimate question, too. And it's not all Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that's up to Arthur Smith, the offensive staff, as to what they see and what they want to do. The Spillane kid, I believe, is going to be the one that's going to start, you know, now, you know, in Devin Bush's place. And you know, having coached linebackers for, you know, a long, long time in this league, I do know this, that especially the first thing that he can do is hand it off to Derrick Henry and we be successful with the run game. Because especially with the new linebacker behind the line of scrimmage, guys, you really want to put them in as many conflict situations, both with their feet and their eyes, as you can in this league. And the way to do that, and conflict, is whether they're playing run or pass 50%, you know, on a down. That's exactly what you need to do. And so that's the first thing that you're able to do. And then, you know, it's like anything else. You study schemes in the National Football League, but then you attack people. And then, you know, Arthur has got to figure out how he wants to attack, you know, their inside linebackers when the situation arises. But the first thing that I would say is, for anybody that plays us that's behind the ball, we just talked about some behind-the-ball players at Houston last week, the conflict they were in with Derrick Henry. You've got to have your run game going.
Dave McGinnis, Titans radio analyst, with us. All right, for those that don't know, could you kind of put into words how good of a football player Devin Bush is and what kind of an impact is that he is not there?
Well, he's a speed guy, and you heard what Mike Tomlin said, and you know, vetting him coming out of college. Look, he was a speed guy, and he's the template right now for what people are wanting for their behind the ball linebackers, you know, that can run, because you've got to have erasers, and especially what they do defensively. You know, they've got a really stout defensive front, and when you've got guys standing behind the line that can erase things from basically C gap to C gap, which is from tight end to tight end, you know, and can really get out in front of block, that's huge, especially when you're playing a 3-4 defense for your two inside linebackers. And, I mean, he's a really good player. And the other thing about it is, guys, he's a young player that's ascending. And that's what you always want. You want young, talented players that are ascending. They had just put the green dot on his helmet, so clearly he was understanding what was going on. He was relaying the calls. He was doing everything that you would want a second-year linebacker to do that you drafted in the first round. So that's a big loss to them.
Robert Spillane spent some time with the Titans. Do you remember him?
Absolutely, from Western Michigan. I liked him. Very instinctive guy, sneaky quick, really intelligent player. I mean, yeah, absolutely, I remember him. And I think Vrabel and those guys liked him too. I mean, it was just a matter. It was a numbers game, but an instinctive guy and a productive guy, especially coming out of Western Michigan there.
Yeah, and obviously they felt confident and comfortable enough in his ability to step into that role. They didn't go out to try and fill it elsewhere. So, other question from Brandon on Twitter, Coach Mack. How much playing time will the Panda get this weekend? And also, what is the Panda's strength, run or pass?
Well, I mean, he's a better run blocker, you know, just off of his game right now, what he is. I have no idea. I mean, they've got to get him working back into practice now. I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, he hasn't been in practice, you know, for a long time. You know, he did some things, I believe, last week with them. We weren't at practice last week because of the whole COVID thing. But to me, I mean, they've got to get him into practice first. I mean, that's important. I mean, I know vetting him coming out of college. I mean, this is a big, good-looking right tackle that is a really, really powerful edge setter. You know, a run blocking. His pass protection is what he needs work on. But to work on that, I mean, you're not going to work on pass protection in your garage. You've got to work on pass protection on the field. That's what he has to get into.
That would be funny
That's
to see,
so
though.
True.
Garage door open, light on. You drive by, and there's Big Panda working on his pass pro. that would be great. So every game has gone down the stretch, four-quarter game, except for the game where they couldn't practice and it was the COVID stuff and all that stuff, and they blew out Buffalo, an undefeated Buffalo team. Do you anticipate this one going down to the wire as well?
Brent, this is going to be one of your games that you love. This is going to be a blood on the moon game. I mean, this is going to be a very, very – now, this will be a hard knock life game. It really will be, because both of these teams are physical. They are, and look, I mean, historically physical. It's not all of a sudden that Pittsburgh jumped up one day last week and decided, you know what, we're going to play good defense and we're going to be physical and run the ball and then spin it down the field with a big arm quarterback. And the Titans have not just decided, you know, this week I think we're going to, you know, we're going to run the football and be physical up front on both sides of the ball. That's what this game is going to be. I mean, this is 2-5-0 teams. And I tell you what, guys, you know, I know you guys know this, and this is for our listeners. I love our listeners on this on this radio station because they understand football. Look, any win that you get in 2020 is a plus because there's so much else going on in 2020. To win a ball game in 2020, you put that in your pocket and move forward. And so however this game comes out, you come out of this game with a win. It's a huge, huge plus, you know, in the column. But this thing, this is the best overall team from top to bottom that we have played so far to this point. I will say that.
Love it. Great stuff, Coach Mack. Coach Mack, Mack Talk coming up tonight at 6 o'clock with Rhett Bryan and you. Looking forward to that tonight, Coach.
Guys, you're the best. Always love being on with you. See you.
All right, thank you. Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, stay tuned. Titans tight end Anthony Firkser. That's next on 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
The Midday 180. Entertaining, informative, funny, and not afraid to be critical of anyone. Get Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on the Midday 180 tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Texans jumping around on defense. Tannehill drifts into the shotgun. Tannehill looking, firing, completing, scoring. Touchdown, Titans! Tannehill, the magic man with the magic hand to Firkser for the big six.
Three HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Broadcasting live in Gallatin, Sudden Service, 1845 Nashville Pike, corner of Nashville Pike and Douglas Bend. Listener Kelly Bean came out and said hello. Always loved that. Getting out, meeting the peeps.
Especially right now. I miss the peeps. Yeah. I miss social interaction. I miss you all. Come say hi.
You're going to get emotional?
I'm getting all emotional here. 2020's been tough.
It has been tough.
I'm like soft now.
We're going to get Anthony Firkser, Titans tight end, in the mix in just a little bit. So stay tuned for that. But when you come to Sudden Service, one of the things you can take advantage of is the 3HL $3 meal deal. You can get a hot dog, golden flake chips, and a small fountain drink for $3. You can also buy two Pepsi products, 20-ounce bottles for $3. And some of that money will go to St. Jude's, thanks to Pepsi. So we've got a lot going on. And we would love to hear from you on social media at 3HL1045 on Twitter, 3HL1045. No, just 3HL on Instagram and Facebook. And that's how you can get to us. This is how you can get to Titans tight end Anthony Firkser by simply listening to this conversation. Anthony, what's up, man? How are you? Appreciate you being with us.
Good enough. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, when JT told me that, you know, I think we're going to have Anthony Firkser on, I'm like, I don't know that I'm educationally qualified to talk with this guy.
No.
We can talk some applied mathematics with him. That was his major at Harvard, for people that don't know. What in the heck goes into that major? Fill us in.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was an economic-based, and then we just kind of broke down into further math courses, calc 1, 2, 3, and differential equations, and a whole bunch of other math stuff.
Did you take the Wunderlich?
Yes, I did.
What'd you score on it? Do you care to share?
Yeah, I think I was in the 30s.
Okay.
30s, yeah.
We have the conversation every year when draft time comes up that, you know, the Wonderlic scores, how much they play into football, and how good people are or aren't on the field determined by their Wonderlic score. So just curious, because I think one of the highest scores ever is what, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a fellow Harvard guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And by the way, that information is supposed to be private information. Yeah,
well,
we always
you
get
want, yeah.
Vince Young scored an eight.
Like, right, okay. Yeah, it always comes out. So at least we know exactly where you are, Anthony. Anthony Ferkser, our guest. So let's go back in the day, because speaking of the draft, I went back and looked at kind of your strengths and weaknesses that they had in your draft profile coming in to the league. And one of the kind of profiles question your strength as a blocker. I'm just going to go ahead and say that on Derrick Henry's touchdown there, that game-winning touchdown, that I felt like your strength as a blocker was A-OK. Kind of take us through that play and what was going through your mind.
Well, thank you for that. But, we had that play practice, and, I knew when I just came around, the O-line did a great job moving the line of scrimmage, and I just had to wrap around and fit my guy, and I just got enough on him, and Derek was able to finish the play and carry that guy into the end zone to win the game.
When you're blocking a guy in front of Derrick Henry, do you feel any pressure to, like, kind of be where you're supposed to be? Because you don't want that guy to run up your back.
Yeah, for sure. I know he's got long strides. He's got speed and power. So, I mean, I'm trying to get out of his way and make the hole big enough for him.
Speaking of the third and five call, I figured when you guys went into that formation, I'm like, okay, they're going for fourth down if they don't get it in here. But were you surprised by that call at that moment?
No, I think we've been practicing that as an offense, and all our guys are confident and trust in whatever Arthur calls, and we just go out there and execute.
Let's talk about Arthur, because I said this week I think he's a genius. I think that he has done a phenomenal job at making sure to utilize all of you guys' strengths and putting Ryan Tannehill in a position from a play-calling standpoint to utilize all of you guys. And, I mean, shoot, we've had, I think, a different leading receiver every single game for y'all. What have you seen from Arthur Smith, and what is he doing as an OC to help you guys be successful?
Yeah, I mean, he does a great job just kind of, just going over the whole game plan and the why of each play and making sure that we know it's not just like a one progression read and everyone is available to get the ball. And that's what we've kind of shown over the year, that no matter what spot you're in, that there's a chance that you're going to catch the ball. And he's done a great job of getting everyone involved and everyone touches. And Ryan's done a great job of executing as the quarterback.
So obviously a coordinator, also an assistant coach, need to be a good communicator, right? But that's interesting that you say that he's good at showing you guys the why. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, he wants to make sure we're understanding what the defensive scheme is doing and what the offensive play is attacking in that defense. So just helps us play fast and know what we're trying to attack each play.
Tennessee Titans tight end Anthony Ferkser with us. Huge day against the Texans. 8 receptions, 113 yards, both career highs. Also got in the end zone in the 42-36 overtime win in Houston. Anthony, did you see that kind of day coming pregame as you were warming up?
No, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, as all the games, I mean, we have a different guy step up and all guys getting touches. So, I mean, yeah, I think I was just fortunate that the ball came my way a couple more times, whether it was the defensive scheme that they were in or whatever Ryan saw. But, I was just ready to find the role and do whatever I need to do to help the team win.
So the big long play across the middle, what were you thinking? You catch the ball and you turn around and you've got open space. What goes through your mind there?
Yeah, no, Ryan made a great trust throw and led me open to the open area. And, once I caught it, I looked upfield and saw the green grass. And, yeah, I just got to get on my horse and get my feet up a little bit to try to get to the end zone. But, I was just excited to make that play.
That's what you were thinking, touchdown, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're always thinking touchdown every play.
Of course. What was your 40 time back in the day? You got that speed, right?
Yeah, 4.7. Not the best, but
you're good.
Good enough.
Hey, you just said trust throw, and that really stood out to me, because I feel like that word has come up a ton when it comes to Ryan Tannehill and when it comes to this offense and where you guys are from that standpoint. Fill us in. Take us behind the scenes and what encompasses trust on this team that's making this offense work through Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just everyone's confidence and the practices we've been having and being in these similar situations week after week and being able to execute and come out on top. So, I mean, Ryan does a great job of putting us in the right situation, getting us in the right play. And, yeah, he's communicating with us and the coaches, and all the players are dialed in and focused each week on the goal at hand. And we just keep never being satisfied and always wanting to improve.
Titans tight end Anthony Firkser with us. All right, so Derrick Henry pulls off a 94-yard touchdown run. And you know, there are four defenders that are even with him just beyond the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, watching on television, they're quickly out of the shot. How ridiculous is it to watch that guy hit one of those home run balls like that?
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable every time. And but yeah, sometimes you don't think he's going to break away. But, I mean, his stride and speed is deceiving. And, yeah, no one's catching him once he starts getting into that full stride.
All right. I know we're short on time here, but you guys will face your biggest test so far this season. What stands out about what the Steelers do and the biggest challenge for you guys this weekend?
Yeah, we know there's going to be a physical team, and they're aggressive. They're going to attack us. So, yeah, we just got to be able to stand up to that and be able to keep executing our offense and not try to do anything different and just stick to what we've been doing.
What makes them so good defensively when you pop the tape in?
Yeah, I think just their aggression. I mean, they're flying around, their effort and finish each play. Yeah, we're going to have to be attacking them all game and never letting up and not letting them get on, get the momentum.
One more thing. I've got to ask you about the Derrick Henry. I keep going back to Derrick Henry, but the Derrick Henry stiff arm.
It's fun to talk about.
On Josh Norman. Did you see that as it happened?
Yeah, I was right on the sideline, and yeah. So
what was your reaction?
Tossed him a couple yards into the out of bounds. So yeah, that was impressive.
Love it, man. Hey, go have some fun this weekend. You need, by the way, you need 3 receptions, 44 yards, and a touchdown to set career highs on all of those numbers. Get that done this Sunday for us, okay, man?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Anthony Firkser, Tennessee Titans tight end and Harvard grad, applied math, huh?
Applied mathematics. By the way, he took, what is it, actuary? He took the, like, actuary credential exam or whatever in the off season in 2018.
Are you even speaking English?
I know. I mean, this is like,
I mean,
well,
I thought we
were
done with
all this. He didn't
even
start football until his sophomore year in high school on top of that, by the way. I mean, like, this guy, he was a point guard in basketball. Like, he went to Harvard so he could play both.
He was the Shore Conference.
I freaking love Anthony Firkser, huh?
He was the Shore Conference co-player of the year as a point guard and also as a football player.
Yeah.
Same thing.
There you go.
It's like Allen Iverson.
So he's smart and athletic. And
I thought we were done with the applied math thing when Altaron Werner went to Tampa Bay.
Oh, my gosh. That guy was so smart. You know, that guy's like a professor now.
Yeah, if you want to know about...
Vern's a professor now. He's awesome.
If you want to know about applied math, watch Beautiful Mind. That's what all that stuff's about. We love it, man. So coming up next, we do have a window for your phone calls. If you want to weigh in on what you've heard or what you think might happen this weekend, 615-737-1045. We'll talk some college football with Chris Lowe at 4:15. All that coming up as we broadcast live from Sudden Service in Gallatin, 1845 Nashville Pike, the corner of Nashville Pike and Douglas Bend. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. 615-737-1045.
Scheduled to be a bye week, now has your Titans facing Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Come on, this one should be easy. Big Ben no longer has Ramon Foster protecting him. We do. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.